You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Here to help you with inspiration, instruction, and support for your home improvement projects. Give us a call right now with your question at 1-888-MONEY-PIT, 888-666-3974. Take a look around your house. Take a look around your yard if any of winter winds have blown anything down.
You can see under that snow.
It needs to be put back together. Hey, call us right now. We're here to help. The number is 1-888-MONEY-PIT. We've got a great show planned for you coming up this hour. If you're lucky enough to live where it's pretty warm all year round, you'll never have to deal with snow and ice on your roof, something that can cause major damage if it's not taken care of. We've got tips on how to make sure your roof stays clear and your home safe from all of that heavy, wet, nasty snow.
That's right. And even large-scale professional athletic arenas are apparently not immune.
Yeah,
can you believe that in December? That was it, the Metrodome?
Yeah.
Collapsed all
Fox
that wet snow.
Fox had great video footage of that. The whole thing came down. They smartly left their cameras running overnight.
Seriously. So imagine if it can happen there, it can happen to you folks. Well, if snow and ice are outside, chances are you want to be inside, most likely curled up in front of a nice toasty fire. Well, we've got advice on how to keep your fireplace screens clean and free of buildup so that you can actually see that beautiful warm glow that your fire creates.
And also ahead, the best ways to unfreeze frozen pipes, along with tips on how to avoid those in the first place.
Plus this hour, we're giving away a $350 gift certificate from Leggett and Platt, and they are makers of fine beds and bedding.
So give us a call right now with your question. The number is 1-888-MONEY-PIT, 888-666-3974. Let's get right to it. Leslie, who's first?
Dirk in Illinois, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Yes, I own a 130-year-old house that sat vacant for a couple of years, and unbeknownst to me, the flat roof has been leaking and saturated through the floor and down into the floor joists. It has a basement, and while the roof timbers and the floor have dried out, the floor joists in the basement overhead seem to stay saturated. I have access to drying equipment, but I wonder once I get those dried out, am I going to have to treat them for mold or mildew or insects or anything like that?
What happens is the lumber, once it gets over 25% wet, the decay organisms will wake up and sort of start to deteriorate it. But once you dry it out, the decay organisms go dormant and they cease to function. So as long as you dry it out and keep it dry, then you shouldn't have a problem. Now, has the roof leak been fixed?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's all you need to do. Once it dries out, as long as it hasn't been wet for, you know, years and gotten weak, once it's dried out, there's nothing further you need to do about it.
Okay. Great. Thanks for answering, and thanks for your program.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Jackie in Rhode Island, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Yes. I have a buffet, and I have a white circle. I think I got it from polishing it, and when I put a planter on the buffet, I went to pick it up, and I got a nice white circle, and I can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a water stain. Yeah, I mean, it could happen even if you just leave, you know, a glass of water, and it just sits there, you know, when you get condensation from the cup itself on the wood surface, you're going to get a water ring. Now, if it's a newer ring, you've got a better chance of getting it out. A lot of people swear by using mayonnaise. You sort of want to cover the watermark itself with, like, a good coating of mayonnaise, let it sit for a couple of hours, and then wipe it up. People swear by it. Other people use vegetable oil and sort of rub it in with the grain in that circle. What happens is it's just sort of an oversaturation, and that stain and that finish is sort of really sort of almost swelled and created the stain. But mayonnaise, even toothpaste. I mean, I know
I tried
some
toothpaste.
Did not work.
No.
I say give the mayonnaise a try. If that doesn't work, which generally it does, try if you've got some extra stain on hand and really work that into the grain, you know, and try to match that finish.
What color is the finish right now?
It's cherry wood.
Okay. There's also a product called Old English.
Oh, that does a lot of great work, too.
Yeah, that works really well. I like that. I use that a lot in my house.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, is it the Old English with the stain in it, or the Old English just so polished?
No, with the stain in it.
With the stain. I don't have that one. Okay,
yeah.
That's what I'll get.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Travis in Texas is on the line with an electricity question. Tell us what's going on at your money pit.
Well, what I'm wondering about on a GFI plug, it has the reset button. When you push the reset button and it won't reset, and I know there's power, to it, and it won't reset. What's the deal?
So if you push the reset button and it will not reset, then you've got a bad ground fault or you have a miswired circuit. Did it ever reset correctly? Did it ever work right?
Right.
You could have a short somewhere in the circuit as well.
And it's doing its job.
Yeah. So I wouldn't question it. The first thing I might do is replace that that outlet and see if you can get it to set properly. And if it won't set properly, then you got a short somewhere. And like Leslie said, it's doing its job and you need to get to the bottom of the short.
Exactly. Would you recommend changing the plug or just put it? I understand there's a GFI breaker.
Well, there is, but right now I would just work with what you know, and that is to change the receptacle itself. See if we can get it to work there.
Okay. Appreciate that information. So that's just change the plug out, huh?
Change it and make and see if it's if it'll reset. And if it won't, then you got to go a little bit deeper. And by the way, Travis, it's not a do-it-yourself project unless you're real comfortable working with electricity, okay? We want you to be safe.
I appreciate it.
Travis, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at moneypit.com. Pick up the phone and give us a call with your winter home improvement project. We'd love to give you a hand to get that job done. We're here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
888-666-3974. Up next, steps you can take to avoid damage to your roof this winter. Find out how to keep heavy ice and snow loads off your roof and out of your house after this.
On the Money Pit Radio Show.
Money Pit. The Money Pit is brought to you by Therma-Tru Doors, the nation's leading manufacturer of fiberglass entry and patio door systems. Therma-Tru Doors are Energy Star qualified and provide up to 5 times the insulation of a wood door. To learn more, visit Therma-Tru.com. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Making good homes better? Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti, and you should give us a call at 1-888-MONEY-PIT. We will try our best to answer your question. Plus, you just may win our prize this week, which is a $350 Leggett & Platt gift certificate. And one caller that we talked to on the air is going to win this great prize. And if you are the lucky caller, you might choose the Leggett & Platt AirDream Sofa Sleeper System replacement mattress. Now, this hypoallergenic mattress combines coils with an inflatable air system, which then creates an 11-inch thick sleep surface. No one is ever going to complain again about that bar under their mattress and their back. Kills. I'm never sleeping over here again. Unless that's what you want them to say. Now, the AirDream is available in sizes to fit most sofa sleepers, and it's available online and at most sleep bedding retailers. If you want some more information to check out this great system, visit lpcpg.com.
888-666-3974. Well, this season we've already had some pretty heavy snowfalls in many parts of the country. And when those snowfalls are followed by warm days, that can often allow ice to dam up at the roof's edge, where it blocks melting snow and causes serious leaks inside your home. To prevent this, you want to be sure that your roof is properly ventilated. If you plan to replace your roof soon, you also want to be sure to have the contractor install an ice and water shield, which will give you an extra layer of protection against those rooftop ice dams. Now, if you happen to get out there right after a heavy snow, another good idea is to use a special-handled snow rake. It's a really long-handled, lightweight rake. And you can use that from the ground to remove snow from the roof. And if you get that snow off when it's light and fluffy like that, then it's not going to get wet and heavy later and put a lot of stress on your roof and potentially cause a collapse.
Mm-hmm. You also want to make sure that you keep your gutters clear of leaves or sticks or any other kind of debris so that when the snow does melt or if there's ice in there, it can actually flow freely and not sort of get stuck up by all of these things that are blocking the flow. And remember that your downspouts, they should face away from your home, and ideally you want them to project the water about 5 feet away from your home's foundation just to keep your foundation nice and dry. Also, trim trees and remove any dead branches that can become weak from ice or snow buildup. This is going to prevent an overloaded limb from, you know, just falling and snapping and possibly damaging your home or your car or maybe even hurting somebody. Just, you know, look around your yard and take some precautions before the snow and the storm sets in. This way everybody can keep safe during this beautiful winter wonderland.
888-666-3974. Call us right now with your home improvement question.
Susan in Minnesota is dealing with a basement project. What can we do to help you?
We have a basement that has occasionally leaked. We do have drain tile in. We have found a system that's called DryCore, and we were wondering if you knew anything about that system. Now, our basement at this point, the only time we've ever gotten water is if one of the downspouts from outside is off.
Right.
And you don't get, you know, it's not a huge amount of moisture that we get. Our problem is we have a 12-12 pitch in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it does dump water, it dumps a lot of water.
Right.
So, you know, our downflow system has to work well. But normally our basement is very dry, and we would love to put carpet in there. But and like I said, this dry core system, we've heard a little bit about it, but do you know anything about it? Is it any good?
I've seen it at the trade shows. I like the idea. I mean, it basically picks up, it's kind of a subfloor, and it picks it up off of the concrete, and that's not a bad thing. So I think it's fine as a subfloor. What I don't think is fine is putting carpet in the basement under any circumstances. I think it's a big mistake. We would definitely recommend against that. What we would recommend is that you consider laminate flooring, which is beautiful today. It's so well made. Or you could use engineered hardwood flooring, which is also terrific. And then if you want carpet, you use an area rug. Okay, but you don't put in wall-to-wall carpet.
I mean, just the cost of putting in a wall-to-wall in the event of a future flood, which, you know, could be likely because things happen with a gutter system, things happen with the grading around your perimeter of foundation, you know, so it's possible it could come back even after you correct all of these things. The cost of removing and replacing, it just gets expensive. Plus, it opens up a whole area of health issues. You could have mold problems, which could lead to respiratory issues. It's just not worth it.
Yep, and we're definitely not anti-dry core. We're just anti-carpet, okay?
Anti-carpet, okay. That sounds good. We'll research it a little more then.
All right, good luck, Susan. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
David in Maine, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
Well, I got a problem with some wallboard. A crack in my drywall is pretty much from the top to the bottom, pretty much in a straight line, vertically.
Okay, is that over a seam, David?
That's what I found out. Yes, it was over a seam, and
right,
it was over a 2x4.
How about
and
that?
Unfortunately, when I took a utility knife and started carving it out to make a V-shaped profile, I found out that one side of the, it was over a 2x4, and one of the wallboards, one piece of the wallboard was basically floating.
Okay.
So my question is there some easy or cost-effective way other than just replacing the whole 4x8 sheet of wallboard to fix that or to secure it so that it doesn't float?
Hmm. Well, here's the trick. I mean, there are ways to repair that, but essentially you have to cut a hole in the wall to do that. I'm wondering if it's easier to fix one or two. I'm thinking, Leslie, the easiest thing to do here would be for David to essentially go to the stud to the left and to the right of the disconnected drywall.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Cut out both sides of it. So now you're going to take out a piece. Let's assume that the studs are 16 inches on center. So you take one to the right, so you're 16 inches to the right, 16 inches to the left, and now you pull out a piece that's 32 inches wide. Replace that with a new piece of drywall that's 32 inches wide. You'll have two seams to tape instead
right.
of one, but frankly, it's not going to be that much more work. Because that one side of drywall is now floating and moving, even if we tell you how to fix that crack,
it's always going to show up.
It's going to come back. So if you're going to cut the wall out, I mean, we could tell you how to cut it out right near that and slip in some wood blocking and then attach it. But frankly, by the time you do all that, the cleanest way to do this is probably to take that whole piece out by going to the left and the right, sort of surgically excise that one piece of drywall, bang in a new piece, tape it, spackle it, be done. You want to make sure you use perforated drywall tape because it's a little more forgiving if you don't quite get the spackling there just right. 2-3 coats, feather it out, prime it, paint it, and you're good to go.
That's the only way.
That's the way to do it.
Okay, good enough. Thanks for your advice.
You're welcome, David. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT. I think David was looking for the magic potion that would mysteriously make a stud appear where once there was none.
And I like how he was like doing surgical work on it too.
Yeah, exactly. He was digging it out. Well, you know, it was probably stuck together by the piece of tape that was there. And once he cut that, all of a sudden
it became
a floater.
Now we've got Gary on the line who's looking for some efficient baseboard heating. Tell us what's going on and what you need some help with.
Well, I have a bathroom on the north side of the house, and in Nebraska it gets pretty cold in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering about using a baseboard heater to warm up that corner of the house, how efficient they are, and what the advantage of a 240 is over a 120 volt.
So it's just a standalone bathroom on the north side of the house that doesn't get enough heat?
Yeah.
Okay. So a couple of things. First of all, adding electric heat to that is definitely the easiest. Since it's a small room, you don't have to go with 240 volt. You can go with 110 volt. I would have it centrally wired and not use a plug-in unit. Since it's such a tiny room, I mean, it's a strip baseboard heater is the best. If it was a bigger area, I might recommend a larger space heater, but just a strip baseboard heater should be fine. The downside is that the thermostat on those is mounted on the unit itself. If you buy a little bit better quality one, you can actually have one that's mounted on the wall.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's an easy way for you to increase the heating in just that one small, very strategic area of your house.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, for cost effectiveness, you're not going to put this on and keep it on when you're not in there. You're going to put it on, you know, a couple minutes before you go in there. And because of the size of the space of the room, it'll really do a great job of heating it effectively and quickly. And then, you know, once you're done in there, turn it off. But of course, since it's a bathroom, you want to make sure that you manage the moisture well, because if you're dealing with extremes between hot and cold, you're going to get a lot of condensation in there.
Uh-huh. Well, this one that I was looking at does have a programmable thermostat.
Oh, good. Well, good. That's a good choice then. I think you're on the right track.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEYPIT.
All right, our next caller needs some help patching up a damaged ceramic tile floor. Now we've got Lynn in Texas. How can we help you?
I have the ceramic tile, and it seemed like there was a blister on one of the tiles.
Okay.
And it popped.
Hmm.
It's been down about 3 years, but it left an open place, a little hole that's about half an inch in diameter, just about a 1/16 of an inch deep.
Hmm.
I'm afraid that it's going to get very stained because it doesn't look good. So is there anything I can do to fill it and seal the surface?
What color is the ceramic tile?
It's kind of a lot of brick color. It's dark.
Well, actually, that could work. That could work for you, because what you're going to want to do is get a touch-up paint. Now, there's a couple of different ways you can go here. You can use a touch-up paint that's used for cars. If you go to an auto body store, like a Pep Boys or a place like that, you can get a car touch-up paint, which is a very durable, usually epoxy-based paint, and you can touch it up with that. You could also, because it's dark colored, I don't know if you're going to be able to find this, but they have epoxy paints for kitchen appliances too, but I doubt you're going to find it in a dark color. So you may want to stick with the auto body idea first, or at the auto parts store first, because I think you'll find touch-up paints in wide varieties of colors there. And if it's a sort of motley, you know, go darker and lighter and sort of dab them on together side by side to create the pattern.
Okay.
And that'll seal the place where the glazing broke off, so you won't get dirt in there. And you know what? If you do a good job, it may be completely invisible.
I hope so.
All right. We'll give it a shot.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Still ahead, the best way to avoid frozen pipes and how to thaw them properly if you just can't avoid it at all. We're going to have this advice from this old house's plumbing expert, Richard Chithui, when we come back.
On the Money Pit Radio Show, pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home by calling 888-MONEY-PIT.
Money Pit. The Money Pit is brought to you by SnowblowersDirect.com. Thinking about getting a snowblower? Check out SnowblowersDirect.com's interactive buying guides, recommendations, and customer reviews. Snowblower experts are available to help you pick the perfect snowblower. Visit SnowblowersDirect.com.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, where home solutions live. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Well, a project like hanging curtain rods is right up there on the really can do this yourself list, but there are a few things that could make it more difficult. For example, do you have plaster walls that are prone to crumbling? Or what if you rent and can't make holes in the walls? Well, if that's you, check out our article on how to hang curtain rods without drilling any holes. It's online right now at MoneyPit.com.
Roy in Poughkeepsie, New York is calling in about roof moss. Tell us what's going on at your Money Pit.
Well, I have a problem of roof moss on my garage roof. It seems to be somewhat shadowed by a section of the house. There aren't any trees that's giving me the problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I understand that you do recommend the copper strip along the leading edge of the roof, and that's probably the best route to take. However, in a previous program, you mentioned a solution, I believe, that you could apply. And I can't remember for the life of me the name of that solution, and I wonder if you might be able to recall that and give it to me.
Certainly, it would have been wet and forget. It's a moss,
wet,
mildew, and algae remover.
Wet and forget.
Wet and forget. Their website is wetandforget.com. And it works really well. It's a concentrate. You mix it up. I think it's about one part wet and forget, about five parts water. And you apply it. You let it sit. It does its job. And you rinse it off. And that will actually kill the moss that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, unless you do it on a, you know, somewhat regular
just
basis,
keep coming back.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
And in your case, since it's physically being caused by the shadow of the house, it's kind of going to be something you're going to have to live with. But if you do that, and also if you think about laying in a small piece of copper flashing up against the house.
Or nickel,
right up against the house.
Oh.
That metal will release every time it rains and kind of work as a regular mildicide.
Right up against the house, is that right?
Mm-hmm. All right, does that help you out?
Yes, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate your show, and I wish you and yours a happy new year.
Thank you so much.
Well, frozen water pipes are a serious risk during very cold winter weather. And when water freezes in a pipe, it expands and then it can exert a pressure of over 2,000 pounds per square inch, which is enough to rupture pretty much any pipe that's filled with water.
Well, there are some very simple and inexpensive ways to prevent frozen pipes. And we're going to get those tips right now from a guy who has fixed more than his fair share of broken pipes, I'm sure. Not because he is an incredibly unlucky homeowner, but because he is, in fact, the master plumber from TV's This Old House, Richard Truth. Hi, Richard. Good
hey
to see you again.
Nice to be back.
And, you know, I once saw a single broken pipe dump over 5 feet of water in a basement. It was not pretty. So where do we begin to make sure we get something like this under control?
Well, I've seen it all. You know, a split that's about a half an inch on a pipe, it can cause like $9,000, $10,000, $20,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
You know, my own family's house had a frozen pipe years ago, and that water coming down through it, it was years before we get the house right again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sad thing is it's easy to prevent. So let's just talk about how not to defrost them first.
This there's a lot of bad ideas out there.
Don't let anybody take a torch and try to thaw a frozen pipe. You know, just don't know where that flame is going to go. Oftentimes the frozen pipe is where? Out in the outside wall or near the outside wall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So make sure you don't do that. The better way is to prevent it.
Okay.
Okay, let's seal all the holes and cracks around the home with expanding foam or some of that silicone caulk. You know, I heard a quote once, think about a house as just a poorly built boat. And so if it was if you were in a boat and you had a hole that was letting air in and it was water in the case of the boat, look for the places you could sink. And so a small half-inch hole would be enough to sink any good boat. So you use foam rubber pipe insulation. You've seen it at all the home centers. You know, it's usually 3/8 or half an inch sidewall thickness.
And it's like slit on the sides.
That's right. You can get it slit or not slit. The slit is the much easier one in a retrofit because you just peel the tape and
slide it over
and bring it together. Yeah.
Right.
So you want to peel that and then just put it together. Now, the elbows is where the freezing often happens, you know. So we see people that just put the foam insulation on and then they leave the elbows exposed. What you really want to do is to cut a mitered corner to that foam insulation.
Okay.
That would be done with a decent wood saw or a razor knife just to make a nice clean miter that can butt those two corners together.
And then you tape them together with more of that foam insulating tape.
That's right. They have
that.
Some special tape for it. So you can really make it tight. And that's a homeowner doable project. You know, you're not going to really want a plumber to come in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a fun project too.
Well, and in all of these instances that you're mentioning, you know, it's in a case, especially in a kitchen where you've got your sink that looks out a lovely window and you're enjoying as you're washing
right.
the dishes. So that's a wall where there's a concern. But I've always thought when you're dealing with frozen pipes, it's the exterior spigot that I need to make sure that I open up and turn off the supply from the house inside.
Yeah.
But I mean, we really need to think about the entire house and its plumbing.
Well, we see those kitchen pipes as the prime culprit because oftentimes you've run that hot and cold right behind the kitchen cabinets and it gets locked out. So if you're going to try to thaw something like that, it should start by opening up the hot and cold faucets at the sink. And then you want to get in there with a hairdryer, never a torch, and you want to just start working it gently. It doesn't need that much to break that frozen pipe, you know, but it certainly doesn't need any torch, any flame.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the symptom that the pipe is frozen that you're not getting any water? Or what if it's a fixture you're not using quite often and you don't even realize that it's frozen in that
area?
Yeah,
you wouldn't. And then the scary thing that, you know, a pipe can freeze in the middle of the coldest weather and you might not even know it until it thaws.
Mm-hmm.
And then all heck.
Water's everywhere.
Yeah,
Something interesting I learned years ago that in terms of which pipe will freeze first, a hot water pipe or a cold water pipe, I've always heard that a hot water pipe will freeze first because it's got less air in it.
I've repaired more hot water leaks than cold water leaks on pipes. Yeah.
Now, Richard, how does a pro, if they can't get to the pipe, how does a pro actually unthaw pipes?
We have a cool machine, a pipe thawing machine. It looks like a glorified starter for your battery. It's got two jumper cable leads, and you put one clamp on one side of the frozen pipe and another one over here, and you turn it on. It actually melts the ice inside it, and that's a lot safer than any other open flame.
And a whole lot safer than a torch.
Yeah. That's right.
Thuy from TV's This Old House, thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
Glad to be here.
And there's a great video on thisoldhouse.com that will teach you how to prevent frozen pipes. Definitely worth checking out.
That's right. For more great home improvement information, you can watch Richard and the entire This Old House team on This Old House and Ask This Old House on your local PBS station.
And Ask This Old House is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Up next, we're going to take more of your calls. Plus, we're going to have tips on easy ways to clean those fireplace screens so that you can really see and enjoy that beautiful glow from your roaring winter fire.
You live in a money pit.
Where home solutions live, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT. We will try our best to answer your question. Plus, you might just win our prize this week, a $350 Leggett & Platt gift certificate. One caller we talk to on the air wins. And if you are that lucky caller, you might choose the Leggett & Platt AirDream Sofa Sleeper System Replacement Mattress. This hypoallergenic mattress combines coils with an inflatable air system that creates an 11-inch thick sleep surface. Your mother-in-law will never complain about the bar under the mattress again. In fact, if you don't like your mother-in-law, you might not want to put this mattress in because maybe she won't come back as often. The AirDream is available in sizes to fit most sleeper sofas, and it's available online and at most sleep bedding retailers. For more info, you can go to lpcpg.com or call now for your chance to win. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Don in Illinois, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you?
Well, I built my home about 2.5 years ago, and the basement walls are built with insulated concrete forms.
Okay.
And when they poured the concrete down through the forms, they didn't vibrate it.
Okay.
And so consequently, I've got a lot of honeycomb in that concrete, and now my walls leak when we have a fair amount of rain.
Yeah. Okay. So the way you fix that is by not trying to seal the walls, but by trying to stop the leak at the source. And if you're getting leakage that's consistent with rainfall, you need to look at the grading, which is the angle of soil around the outside of your house. But even more importantly, the gutter system. You want to make sure that you have one, that it's extended away from the house, that it's clean, it's free-flowing, you have enough downspouts. You need one for every 400 to 600 square feet of roof space. And if you try to keep that foundation perimeter as dry as possible, you'll find that you'll get no leakage through those walls during heavy rain.
Okay. Well, we just recently did put guttering in and did some additional backfilling around the house, too, to try and get that grade to flow away from the house. So.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're on the right track. I would continue that because that absolutely does cause it. Take a look at our website, moneypit.com, and search on basement leaks and fixing basement leaks and basement flooding and that sort of thing, and you will find a wealth of information on this problem. And as well as lots of tips and lots of comments from folks that have tried this.
All right. Well, I appreciate your information.
Angela in Texas is on the line with an airflow question. What can we do for you?
Yes, ma'am. We have a house that was built about 4 years ago, and they used the spray foam insulation in the walls and in the attic. And I was wondering if we need to make any special precautions or do anything special for ventilation.
Is there no ventilation right now in your attic space?
I guess it has the typical. I'm not really sure what it has, honestly. I've heard something that those houses don't breathe very well, and I don't know if there needs to be something special done when it's that spray foam insulation or.
Are you seeing any signs of like high humidity or anything inside your house that would lead you to believe there's any type of an indoor air quality issue?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, and how old is the house?
4 years.
Yeah. And if you're not seeing any signs and it's seems to be working well and your utility bills are in line, I would just leave everything alone.
Now, when you look at your roof line from the street, your ridge or the tippy top of your roof line, do you see that it almost looks as if the shingle's a little different, like maybe it's slightly lifted up off of that? Because that would indicate that you have a ridge vent. And what you really want for proper ventilation in your attic is a continuous ridge vent and soffit vents to sort of recirculate that air. But if your house is only 4 years old, you probably have that.
Okay. I think we do. I'll check and make sure. But, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Well, continuous ridge and soffit vents are the best system. So if you've got that, you're definitely good to go.
Okay, great. Thank you for your help.
All right, well, here's an easy way to make cleaning your fireplace screen part of your regular cleaning routine. That is, if you have a regular cleaning routine. If you're like me and have a 2-year-old, you probably clean every single day.
That is your cleaning routine.
That is my cleaning routine. Chase child with vacuum. Repeat. Well, once or twice a season, what you want to do for your fireplace screen is use a cleaning solution of about an eighth of a cup liquid dishwashing detergent per quart of water. And that's going to help you remove whatever dirt has sort of caked onto that screen surface, which can actually be kind of hard to get out of there. Then what you want to do is gently scrub that fireplace screen with a soft bristle brush and then follow up by wiping with a lint-free cloth, because you really want to get all of that water off of it so you don't get any rusty spots, which could happen kind of quickly. Now, if you have any brass on the screen, you want to make sure that you polish that section with a brass cleaner and also use a lint-free cloth. That lint-free cloth is probably the biggest secret to so many household cleaning chores, so just get a bag of them, keep them, and use them whenever you tackle your cleaning chores, and you'll be so happy with the results.
Good advice. And you know, a fireplace is also a great way to enjoy a little wintertime atmosphere, but it can help cut those heating costs if it's used correctly. We're going to tell you exactly how to do that next. Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And there's no need to wait to hear a radio show to get your question answered. If you become a member of the Money Pit community, you will be able to post your question 24/7, and either Leslie or I or one of your fellow do-it-yourself community members will answer that question. You can join now. It's free at MoneyPit.com.
Mm-hmm. And while you're there, you can post your question just like Ray did. And Ray posted, I have a standard wood-burning fireplace with no perks like a blower system. It's really not meant to heat the house, but I would like to have it supply a little supplemental heat. Is there some kind of system I could get to make it more efficient and possibly add some supplemental heat to the house?
Yes, it is called a heatilator.
Oh, and it's the thing that looks like an engine that you stick in your fireplace, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a wood-burning stove insert, and it does a much better job of burning the wood efficiently and getting many more BTUs out of each burning piece of wood than you would if you normally just burned it in an open fireplace. What many folks don't think about is that when you burn wood and you have that flue open to let the smoke out, guess what else it takes out? It takes out all the heated air that your main heating system is providing, and it takes it right up and out the chimney. So it's actually quite expensive sometimes to use a fireplace, even though you feel that radiant heat, you feel that glow, you feel that warmth, and it's kind of fun. I mean, if you're going to do that, think about it. It comes out of the recreational budget. It's not real efficient. But if you use a heatilator insert, then yes, it can become more efficient and, you know, not incredibly efficient, but certainly more efficient than not having one at all. So that's a great option for you there, Ray.
All right, next we have a post from Edward17, who writes, as it starts to get cold outside, the foyer and kitchen floor of my house are really cold. I can have the heat running at 70 degrees, but the floor itself stays cold. Is it worthwhile to insulate the ceiling joists of my basement? Would this help?
Certainly it would help. It's a pretty easy project to do. You want to not only insulate the ceiling joist, but you also want to insulate the box beam, which is the sort of the end of the ceiling joist, mm-hmm. where the wood floor frame sits on top of the foundation. And I would use unfaced fiberglass bats. I'd use them as deep as you can get them. So if you have 10-inch ceiling joists, use 10-inch unfaced bats. And you put wire ties in between them that holds them in place and sort of hang there in place. I would use unfaced, again, with no vapor barrier. You really don't need one in that space. And that's going to make that floor much, much warmer because you're just not going to have the heat loss that you get during the night.
Mm-hmm. I hope that helps warm up your tootsies. You can also, I mean, at this point, it's kind of difficult to think about, but if you're ever redoing that floor, radiant heat is just a super fantastic solution for all of this. All right, we've got one more here from Kim the Tenant, who posted, this weekend I tried to remove a dead light bulb from my ceiling fan, and it was so brittle it shattered in my hand. Now, the base of the light bulb is basically stuck in the socket, and I don't know how to get it out. I thought about using pliers, but what part of the bulb am I supposed to grab onto?
Okay. Well, first of all, turn off the circuit.
Before
turn
you stick
off
anything
the circuit,
in there.
Turn off the electricity. Is it pretty clear? I'm telling you to turn off the power. All right. Having done that, there's two ideas that come to mind. One is that you can take a crumpled up newspaper and make it sort of twisted into the same shape as the inside of the socket.
Oh, true.
And then put it in there and keep unscrewing it. Make sure you twist it in that same direction, and that will usually cause enough friction to actually back out that bulb. Mm-hmm. Secondly, if you have to grab it with the pliers, you can. I like to use needle-nose pliers, grab the edge of the metal part of the socket itself.
Of the socket itself, yeah.
And work it around in the circle. Remember, righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, so you want to work it to the left, and usually you can get it out that way. Either way, though, make sure, Kim, that the power is off before you actually start that project.
And you know what? This actually happened to me at Christmas time. I like those big old-fashioned C9 bulbs, and one of them broke right in there. I made sure everything was off. I took my needle-nose pliers, unscrewed it, came right out. So that's your solution there. Just power off. How many times do we have to say it? No electricity!
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Thank you so much for spending this hour with us. We hope that you've learned a thing or two about how to take your home from house to home to castle and right out of that Money Pit category. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself.
But you don't have to do it alone.